Why are we building more shelters and not building more apartments for people to live in? They just make these decisions, and all of a sudden you watching the news, there's a shelter coming to the hood. Who made this decision?
The South Bronx is like a testing ground for what can go wrong with civilization. This isn't a political show. I don't like to get political, but this is fucking common sense. We are not anti-immigration. We are not anti-migrants. We're just anti-getting shit on.
We don't want to create a hate rhetoric around shelters or around immigrants, but what we do demand is for people to come to our communities before making decisions and talk to us about it. We have a right to know what's coming into our communities, who's coming into our communities. We have that right to know.
Welcome to a special edition of the Real Mentors podcast. I'm your host, Sean Martin, and we're back with Clarissa Alayeto, running for District 8 City Council here in New York City, South Bronx, and East Harlem. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, let's get right to it. The truth of it is, you know, we had such a great time doing this the first time, which was a bit impromptu because, you know, Flo introduced us and we just fast friends and connected. And the feedback on the interview and the edits was phenomenal. But I wanted to talk to you specifically about a hot button topic here in New York City right now, and that is the migrant crisis. We all come from immigrants. We all come from parents of immigrants, some legal, some illegal. So we're not here to judge, but we are here to talk about the facts. And it has been said that there is going to be a shelter put in the South Bronx, right across from the proposed new county prison, that's going to house over 2,000 men from this migrant situation, crisis, whatever you want to call it. Let's expound on that. Let's talk about some of the issues we have as community members with that.
Absolutely. You know, the way that this was proposed and announced was disrespectful to the community. Like, this is the reason why we have mistrust with government in our community, because they just make these decisions. And all of a sudden you're watching the news at 6 o'clock after work and you realize there's a shelter coming to the hood. Who made this decision? So that breeds a lot of frustration. And when I saw that, I started talking to people in the community. Did you hear about this? Did you know about this? And nobody knew about it. And I'm like, why are we learning about this for the first time? So there's a lot of frustration behind it. And not because it's a shelter or because it's migrants. Right. The frustration is the lack of communication, the lack of transparency with community.
Right. I mean, no one was brought to the table. As we know, unfortunately, and you know, I personally have a distaste for politics because I don't necessarily understand it, and nor do I want to, because if I want to talk to somebody in business, we iron things out, and things in business are far from smooth, and there's snakes and there's treachery and all kinds of stuff. So I'm not here to say politics isn't necessary, but in my gut, there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And to inundate a community that's already facing more poverty than any other district that I'm aware of in the Bronx, and maybe even New York City as a whole, and probably the Northeast, if we're being straight, the South Bronx is like a testing ground for what can go wrong with civilization. Right. Asthma rates, obesity, poverty, teen pregnancy, smoking, drug addiction, more methadone clinics than you could throw a stick at. And now this, if elected, what do you feel you can do about this, or how you can bring the community into the fold?
If I'm elected, this is about, there's no conversation, no decision. Conversations can be had, but no decisions without the community's input. Because as an elected, you're one person. You represent a district of people who have a variety of feelings about things, and we have to engage. That is the first step. We got to engage our community in any decisions that we make. So for me, going in office is like, we will never make a decision without the community's input, bottom line.
How can the community make a case for itself? Because we've also talked about the low voter turnout. And I'm a person who has only voted once in the last 20 some odd years, to be completely honest, for president, okay? Locally as well, if I'm being straight, because kind of they go hand in hand. And that's because of my own distrust of the government. But I think further than this trust, it's just a matter of me as an individual, as an entrepreneur, as a go-getter. I'm like, man, fuck that. Nobody's going to affect my life more than me. But unfortunately, that's not the case in these areas because they're so down and out. We're talking about the poorest of the poor, the neediest of the needy. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback from the stuff we posted because you're so raw, because you're so real, and because you're one of the community. You live there, you got boots on the ground, and you were raised there, and you got history there. So tell us a little bit more about what your vision for change looks like.
My vision for change is that I've always been a person to expose the things that have been done without community input. And I'm not going to say expose, but inform, right? Like, engaging the community, I can't stress how important it is. And you mentioned not being active in civic engagement, not voting, not having an interest, right? Things like putting a shelter in a community where you didn't have any engagement with the people is the reason why they don't come out and vote. You just made a decision without me. So why should I? But this is what we need to do. We need to educate our community that, one, I'm not just a regular leader, the same old, same old. I'm not a politician. I'm from the community who has experienced every issue that our community has. And so I know firsthand, yo, this is what we got to do. We got to come together. We got to bring the people. People have to believe in you. They got to feel like, damn, Clarissa, she gets it. She's from here. Boots on the ground. She knows. And guess what? She's exposed and she's put every issue that has been done behind closed doors. She's put it out there for us to understand. Yo, we got to get together. We just can't, you know, let these things happen in our communities. So that's the biggest thing. My vision is we are going to get people registered to vote. We're going to get people to the polls this election. We're going to make sure that they're engaged civically so that they can see what the difference is voting for a leader like myself, who's going to bring transparency, who's going to bring community engagement.
We talked about you being a communitician versus a politician, and I love that. And I also, behind the scenes, you know, kind of just gave you my two cents on the fact that if you were elected, you know, obviously you've got to play the game and the rules of the game. How does something like that happen where we hear in the news that, you know, they're starting to close these migrant shelters, people are up in arms, and it doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or they're Republican or they're from the Bronx or they're from Brooklyn. Around this particular issue, I haven't met too many people that are like, yeah, let's do it. And if we're being straight, my mother was an immigrant, came here legally, but I know plenty of Salvadorians, Mexicans, Ecuadorians, Peruvians that came here illegally. I know Dominicans that are here illegally. Puerto Ricans obviously can't come here illegally because they're part of the country and the fabric of the country. I had someone tell me the other day whose grandmother and grandfather live on 138th Street over there, where this is kind of in the vicinity of where they're planning to put this shelter and the new prison. So the community as it exists is not necessarily great on paper, but still there's a sense of community because Abuela told my homegirl, she's like, listen, you know, the crackheads take care of me. They know me. It's the same people that have been around here for a generation. And, you know, they're on hard times. Nobody's saying this is a great way to live, but they know her and they're going to look out for her. But now we're proposing to put 2,200 men, which, let's be straight, that is the potentially most dangerous group of any human beings you can put anywhere. Men, testosterone, immigrants, third world mentality, nothing to lose. And I think what I'm trying to say is, even if you're here illegally, I think people are okay with that, but you gotta fucking do it yourself. Like, if you're gonna cut lawns or you're gonna wait by Home Depot to get picked up and do day labor, or even if you got your little flask and you're doing your thing, it's not a great way to live. But we are familiar with that. This is something we're completely unfamiliar with. Let's just take everybody in and right off the break, let's give them some money. And then what happens when the money dries up? What are those people going to do? How are they going to fend for themselves? We don't know. What are your thoughts around that?
When they announced this shelter coming to the community, it was like, we had so many questions. Who's coming? How do we know who these people are? How do we know we're safe, right? Because we see what's happening. We hear all these things. So it is the duty of the decision makers to come to the community to say, look, this is the plan. This is the organization that's going to be taking care of this shelter. This is the security plan in place. These are the programs that we're going to offer. Here's the plan for development. We don't plan for people to stay in the shelters, but here's the housing. Right. Because we don't want people to get comfortable. Why are we building more shelters and not building more apartments for people to live in? This has to be sustainable. Building shelters is temporary. Okay, we have 2,000 men in a shelter. Well, what's the plan to get them in housing? What's the plan to get them to work and contribute to society? What is that plan? That's the conversation that we need to have when you engage a community and you say, hey, look, this is the plan for the community. We know we have a homeless crisis in our city, in the country. We know this is an issue. The problem is the Bronx is already oversaturated with shelters. We're already oversaturated with issues. So why does the Bronx continue to be the place where you want to put the services? There's got to be other places in the city. Right. Let's identify new places. The Bronx has its fair share, which means we now have to continue with the little resources we do have. We got to continue to stretch those out.
We don't have enough, but we got to share.
Exactly.
And it's not about being selfish. I think we've seen it with the Maui wildfires and down in North Carolina and now in Los Angeles. I mean, they're sending billions upon billions of dollars overseas to protect whatever interests, because we're not privy to that either. But then they fucking spit in the face and give American citizens a few hundred dollars, $800, $1,800, whatever it is, to rebuild their lives. Their homes are destroyed. So we're seeing this over and over again in the news in different scenarios. This is something the South Bronx, East Harlem, and a lot of inner city black and brown neighborhoods have been facing for generations. What do you propose as a possible solution to get more resources in? Are you a proponent of education? Are you a proponent of more social handouts? How would you address the situation?
It's multifaceted, right? There are a lot of different ways that we need to approach this. There are different agencies that need to be a part of this conversation. Of course, we know that we need to invest in communities, right? The public safety. When you talk about crime, it's a lack of investment in our community. When we talk about schools, there's a lack of investment in our community. And so we got to look at the full picture. We got to look at the full picture. We got to work together with all the agencies and think about a strategy, because it just can't be, let's put everything in the South Bronx.
Yeah. And East Harlem, not for nothing. I saw a post the other day, there's 15 or something methadone clinics. I think 15% of the city's methadone clinics are in East Harlem, although it only services 1.5% of the city's population. So that right there should tell you they're sticking all the shit in the garbage with the people that are already at the most risk. And again, this isn't a political show. I don't like to get political, but this is fucking common sense. This is about humanity. And at the end of the day, we're fighting to get out of a deeper hole already. And it seems that they keep digging just a little more for us. And what's sad is the people that look like us that are elected officials. And, you know, to some extent, I still trust them. But I always say, I don't trust anybody completely.
Right.
I just trust them to be themselves.
Right, that's it.
So if I don't know you well enough, I can't really trust you. Let us know why people should trust you.
I'm from here. I'm from the community. I've gone through the experiences. I still go through the experiences of what our community deals with every day. From the crime to the lack of education. I'm the product of public schools here in the district. You know, and when I look at the things that we didn't get in our schools that other people and my friends in other affluent communities were able to get, those are the things that push me to run for this seat. And so you can trust me because I'm from here. I'm from the hood. I've been through it. I'm still going through it. And I hope that you can see that in me. I have a track record of building community, right? In my professional track record of building community, of community engagement, is something that I've run on. When I ran for community board chair, it was like, we need transparency, we need communication, we need community engagement. People need to know who we are. People need to know what we do. Historically, people didn't know. Like in our community, people were like, what's a community board? What y'all do? And so it was my duty to make sure we need to open this up and let this be the platform for the people. And so that is what I'm committed to doing, using me as the platform for the people, because I know what it's like to not have my voice heard. I know what it's like to not have my voice reflected in government. And so that's not what we're doing with me. I'm looking to bring my community and never make decisions without my community and say, this is something that we all have to think about. And it's not always going to go in a direction that you want it to. Because right with this shelter right now, what we want to say is this is a humanitarian issue, right? Like these are human beings, and right. We don't want to create a hate rhetoric around shelters right. or around immigrants. But what we do demand is for people to come to our communities before making decisions and talk to us about it. We have a right to know what's coming into our communities, who's coming into our communities. We have that right to know.
It's crazy because where I live out in Suffolk County, and this is a real scenario, 7-Eleven was getting put up. A fucking 7-Eleven, it's a convenience store. And there were all kinds of petitions, people knocking on doors. And then there was also a rehab that they wanted to put in the neighborhood. And they were like, no. And we're talking about dozens of people in a space that you got a lot of room to move because it's the suburbs. They were like, no, not in my neighborhood. Yet here we are, bursting at the seams with problems, and they just throw this fucking shelter on us. And then on top of that, how much do we know about this proposed county prison? Because I was unaware until I saw that video that went viral that you put out there.
So what we know, so this was decided back in almost 2017, 18-ish, where this was the Mayor de Blasio administration. The jail was coming to the Bronx. What it was there was a big campaign around closing Rikers Island.
Right.
We know the things that happened on Rikers. You know, mm-hmm. We know Khalif Browder's story. We know a lot of things. So there was a big movement around closing Rikers Island, but you needed to open because realistically, you still need jails, right? I would love to live in a world where we could abolish them, where we don't need them,
right.
But that's not the reality. And so this community was one identified where, hey, it can go there. At this point, there was no negotiation. There was nothing to do, like the shelter. It was a decision made without us. And so now we're left to say, all right, well, if you're going to put this jail here, then we need to be the people who decide what happens to the people who get locked up in our community, how they get rehabilitated while they're in there, what services they get so that when they come out, they're straight. Because we also know that jail is not where you're convicted, right? You're waiting to see what right. you've been convicted of. In the beginning of that process, I also was a closed Rikers campaign person right. because I was all about, absolutely, I know my brother was locked up, my father, my mother, they all were on Rikers, my sister. So I know what it's like to be on Rikers Island, not to be on Rikers Island locked up, but to be a family member who had to travel.
Yeah.
I went once to visit. I never went back again. And so, you know, we got to think about the way things happen in our community. We got to think about the language we use around, I when people say drug addicts and when people say drug dealers and these criminals, I really, you know, we got to think about that because these are people who are part of our community.
Right. They're our brothers.
They're our brothers.
They're our uncles.
Exactly. So we have to reframe that. So, you know, the uncomfortable thing is y'all doing it again. And right across the street, you made a decision wow. for another
Talk
service
about
building.
Doubling down a fucking county prison. Is it going to be a county prison or?
Back in the days, we had the Bronx House.
Right. Okay.
So it's to me, it's like Bronx House, but in a different location.
Gotcha.
Back then it was by 161st.
Right.
Now you got it over here on 146
right.
or 141st. So, you know, those decisions, you would think the city learned from the first time of making these decisions because the community was in uproar.
Right.
And rightfully so, right? When you don't understand something, when you don't, and when you're not connected to the issue, why should you,
right.
you know? So you got to connect with the people. You got to connect with the community. People, you know, have to be connected to the issue and they need a reason why to care.
Listen, I just want to thank you again for coming by. Even though this is just a short interview today, I think it's going to be extremely impactful to open up the dialogue, no matter what side of the argument you're on. And I want to be clear, we are not anti-immigration. We are not anti-migrants.
That's right.
We're just anti-getting shit on.
That's right.
And I say it because you're running for office, so you probably can't be as raw as I can, but we get a shit on.
Right.
And I say we because even though I am not part of this community anymore where I live.
Right.
These are still my people.
Mm-hmm.
Still my friends.
That's right.
Their grandparents, their cousins. So it'll always be my people.
That's right.
Let us know how people can find you, how they can support you, and when the elections are coming up.
So elections are in June. If you want to, we need as many volunteers to join the campaign. We need some help. You know, go to clarissaforcouncil.com and join our campaign. Volunteer. Let us know how you can help and we'll make it happen. We have to support people like myself because it don't get no realer than somebody from the block.
Thank you so much for coming out against us. I appreciate you as always.
Yep.
And thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.